welcome to the first week of our brand new series called Reunited. Forgiveness feels so good. My guess is that by now you've already made some pretty solid resolutions for 2026. You're going to get in shape. You're going to spend more time with your family. You're going to get that promotion at work. And we all want a brighter, healthier, and happier future. But I wonder if this year you might consider not only looking to the future, but also to the past. Because one of the biggest problems that holds a lot of people back is holding on to old vendettas, grudges, feelings of resentment, anger, and bitterness. But you won't find happiness in the future if you don't first deal with the past. You can't step into a brighter tomorrow unless you've learned to forgive the troubles of yesterday, let it go, and move on. And so in this series, we're going to be talking about all the incredible benefits of forgiveness and a step-by-step method on how to do it. Your best days are still ahead of you, but first you have to let go of the past. Now, today, in the first week of the series, I want to talk with you about that first step. I want to talk with you today about learn from the best. We all want to learn from the best, don't we? And no one wants a mediocre teacher, someone who's just phoning it in. When I took voice lessons long ago, I was blessed to study under a renowned soprano, retired from the New York City Opera Company, a true prima donna in the best sense of the word. And when I started my legal career, I was fortunate enough to work under a partner who had literally written the handbook on California employment law. It's natural to seek out the best and the brightest, to want to apprentice under someone truly skilled in the area. The same should be true for forgiveness. If you want to learn from how to forgive, you have to learn from the best. Now, a lot of people don't think God is really in the forgiveness business. They see him more as a ruthless judge, just waiting to catch them in the act when they do something bad and then condemn them for it. Others do believe in God's mercy and compassion, but they don't feel worthy of it. They keep dwelling on their past mistakes, failures, and disappointments. They keep dwelling on that and think God will never forgive them. But from the very beginning, Scripture shows us a God who never gives up on his people. When Adam and Eve disobeyed, God didn't abandon them. He got to work saving the human race. When the Israelites in the desert worshiped a golden calf, a bull of all things, God gave them a second chance. When King David committed adultery and then murder to cover it up, God still forgave him. Again and again, God shows us that his mercy is greater than our past, that his forgiveness, not our failures, is what will have the final word. And when we get off course, when we make mistakes, he just keeps showing up with his patience, his kindness, and his steadfast love. You're probably thinking, Father Roger, yes, sounds good, but you don't know what I've done. There are some things you just can't come back from. But can I tell you, there is nothing you have done that God can't forgive. Nothing so bad that he would ever turn his back on you. You are the most important thing in the world to God. He loves you unconditionally. You might see yourself as beyond redemption, too far gone. There's just too much water under the bridge, but that's not how God sees it. We all have done things we're not proud of, but going around living with guilt and regret day after day, it just drains you emotionally and keeps you from pursuing your dreams and your God-given destiny. Don't believe the lie that you can't be forgiven. Don't go around with unhealthy guilt on your shoulders. Instead, believe if you've asked for it, and if it's serious and you've gone to confession, if you ask for it, you are forgiven. And then learn from what God does. Learn from his forgiving love. Learn from his forgiving heart. Learn from the best. In today's first reading, the people of God had been defeated by an enemy nation. They were living in exile. Seems like they're always living in exile. They're living in exile. They're worn out spiritually. They're unsure of their future. They feel forgotten and powerless. And the worst part of it was that it was all their own fault. Time and again, they had broken God's covenant. They had disobeyed him. They worshiped false idols. God could have condemned them. He could have written them off forever and moved on. But instead of tearing them down, he built them up. In today's first reading, he says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring justice, bring forth justice to the nations." In the most immediate sense, that word servant in that passage refers to the people of God, the very people who had turned away from him, the very people who had betrayed him. But in this passage, God does not speak words of rebuke or criticism. He speaks words of hope. He goes on to say, I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement and from the dungeons, those who live in darkness. God was saying to them, "You are still my chosen people, my beloved. I will never abandon you. I will always love you. I will always love you, and you will still do great things." God says the same thing to us, you and me today. And when you turn to him and you ask for it, you will know the forgiving love of your heavenly Father. Now, when I was 13, I did something I deeply regret. I started smoking for a few months. It was terrible. I knew it was wrong. I knew it could hurt me. It would only hurt me in the end. I knew it was highly addictive. But some of my friends were doing it. And stupidly, I wanted to fit in. So kids, never ever do something you know is wrong just because your friends are doing it. Talk to your parents about it. I was stupid. Don't be stupid. But that's what I did. And one day, a pack of cigarettes fell out of my pocket accidentally, right in front of my father. I thought, that's it. My life is now officially over. Boarding school, here I come. My father could be a difficult person to deal with. He had a temper and could fly off the handle sometimes. And to be honest, I often lived in fear of him growing up. And on top of it, my mom was in the hospital at the time. And so it was just he and I living in the house together. So I was really scared because I knew she wouldn't be there to protect me from his wrath. At first, I tried to act surprised. How did those get there? Where did they come from? They fall out of the sky? And then I just outright lied. Oh, I'm holding them for a friend. They're not mine. I'm just holding them for a friend. He didn't want to get in trouble with his parents. Oldest lie in the book, right? So desperate, so pitiful. Never do that. But to my surprise, my father didn't get angry. He didn't yell at me. He didn't punish me. He simply pulled out the encyclopedia. Now, kids, if you have no idea what an encyclopedia is, think of it as the ChatGPT, the artificial intelligence of my day, the day of the dinosaurs. You could look up anything in the encyclopedia and actually get the right answer, which artificial intelligence doesn't always give you. You get the right answer because the encyclopedia knew everything. And so for the next hour, my father read to me word for word from the encyclopedia about all the dangers of smoking, the risks of cancer, of heart disease, of black charred lungs, of premature death. And after that, I never picked up another cigarette. But more importantly, I saw a different side to my dad. For the first time in my life, I experienced the forgiving love of my father. Maybe some of you need to learn the forgiving love of your father in heaven. Everything in your mind might tell you, you've made too many mistakes, you've messed up too many times, you keep giving in to temptation, you're never going to get it right. But you know what God says? He says, you are holy, you are righteous, you are precious, and nothing you could ever do could ever stop my love. In today's gospel reading, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. John the Baptist tried to stop it. He said, I need to be baptized by you, yet you are coming to me. And Jesus said to him in reply, allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. What did that mean? Well, Jesus was saying, you know, I haven't committed any sins. I've never done anything wrong. But what Jesus wanted to do, he didn't need to be baptized. He wanted to show us the forgiving love of his heavenly Father. He wanted to show us that forgiving love of his heavenly Father and how he could take the brokenness of the human race and turn it into a victory, a new way forward. He wanted to show us that forgiving love of his Father. And Jesus, when you think about it, he was that ultimate fulfillment of the servant we heard about in the first reading. The immediate fulfillment was Israel, the people of God. But way down the line, Jesus was the ultimate fulfillment of that servant whom God upheld in that first reading, that he would be the one to bring forth justice to the nations. He was the merciful messenger who would never break an already bruised reed, who would never put out an already smoldering wick. When you and I are baptized, many of you were baptized as children, and I was too, so I don't remember it. But whenever you were baptized, all your sins were washed away. Original sin, all that, it was washed away, and everything you had ever done was gone forever. And when you came out of those waters, you came out as a new creation, a completely clean slate. Baptism is the sacrament of God's forgiveness. But there's something else God wants to show us in this passage. So let's go back to the gospel. After Jesus was baptized, he came out up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." God was trying to show us something about ourselves, not only Jesus, but also about ourselves. He was saying that baptism does not only bring forgiveness, it also brings belonging. And the most enduring gift of baptism is the fact that we become a child of the Most High God. You are no longer ordinary. You are a beloved son. You are a beloved daughter. You are no longer average. You belong to the royal family of God. And just like with Jesus, he is always well pleased with you, always for you, because you belong to him. And nothing you do could ever change that. If you want to step into this new year on the right foot, if you want to move forward, grow, and reach new levels of freedom, there's one place God might be asking you to begin. To deal with the past. To find peace with the past. Now that doesn't mean pretending like that person who hurt you never hurt you. It doesn't mean throwing open the doors to people who are unsafe. It does mean trying to overcome the bitterness that maybe has been holding you down or holding you back. It does mean deciding that your past is no longer going to dictate your future. The question you have to ask yourself is, does this person who hurt me still belong to me? Could they still belong to me in some way? Even if at a minimum it's just in your prayers, your concern, your hope. The word forgive literally means to give someone a future in your life. Sometimes that means that it has to be different. But that future is always marked by grace, not resentment. In today's second reading, the Apostle Peter went to the home of a man named Cornelius, a Roman soldier, someone he had been taught to avoid. But when he was there, he realized something that changed everything. He said, "In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him." In other words, there is no one ever written off by God. There is no one ever beyond his mercy. Everyone belongs to him in some way. And if that's the way God sees the world, I wonder if he's inviting you to see your world in the same way. Learn from the best. You have been forgiven. You belong to God. Is it possible that person who has hurt you could still somehow, some way, belong to you in some capacity? Years ago, when I was a young lawyer just starting out, I was working on this tough trial. It was very contentious. A woman claimed that her boss had fired her unfairly, and the company said that the problem was her work. It was very contentious, and she was representing herself, didn't have her own lawyer, so it was even more contentious. She was very angry. She was very bitter. The company denied any wrongdoing. And I was at her deposition, which is like a formal legal proceeding. And there were so many people in the room, the court reporters, the counsel, all these things. And you could cut the tension with a knife. And then all of a sudden, my stomach started growling. I skipped breakfast that morning. I was so hungry. At first, it was really soft. You know, you could barely hear it. And then as the minutes ticked by, it kept getting louder and louder and louder. I was so embarrassed. And then suddenly, everyone in the room, all those important people, just stopped and looked at me. I said, "I'm so sorry. I can't control this." And then the whole room burst out in laughter. And the more my stomach kept growling, the more they kept howling. And for that brief moment, our common shared humanity overcame the angry spirit in that room. I know it's a silly story, but it points out a truth. We all belong to each other. There may be people that have to have a different place in your life after they've hurt you. And yes, you have to protect yourself from abuse. Trust takes a long time to rebuild. There may have to be new rules of accountability. And forgiveness does not mean denying what happened in the past. But don't let resentment, anger, and bitterness steal your joy in this new year. Get rid of that toxin. Forgiveness is the antidote to all that poison. If you want to soar to new heights in this new year, if you want to see more healing and forgiveness and blessedness and joy and peace in your life, let it go and forgive. Learn from God and learn from the best.